Well, good morning and a very, very warm welcome to our midweek service. It's lovely to be with you, and a very warm welcome to anybody who's joining us online. It is a joy to worship together. My name's Reverend Peter Myers and I'm the curate here, and we have Darren Cook who's going to come and teach later in our ongoing series of We Are the Church, Learning to be Kingdom People. And today we're focusing on a people with a heart for justice. So again, we are looking at that relationship out with the world, our relationship with the world. We've talked about our up relationship with the Lord. There's the in relationship with ourselves and our ongoing salvation and sanctification. And there's the out relationship, the up, the in, and the out. And so Darren will be teaching later on that theme of out. But all the words will be on the screen, and then we'll be doing communion in the normal way. If you are at home listening and you'd like to join in that communion, then you might like to get some bread or some wine and some grape juice, whatever preference, and then you can stand with us doing that spiritually, sharing in our Eucharistic act. Let me pray. Let us pray. Lord, we welcome you here, and we thank you that we can gather to encounter you. Lord, we don't come to speak words and to be, but we come to join with you, to meet you, to both honour and worship you, and to receive from you. And may we know you through our act of worship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Lord be with you. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. As God's people we have gathered, let us worship him together. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. And so let us say together, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And just in a moment of silence, having made that confession, draw upon the Lord, ask the Spirit to stir in you anything that you need to particularly come confessing, knowing where we all fall short. And perhaps in your imagination you might bring that thing, if you can imagine the foot of the cross, and bring it and laying it at Jesus' feet. And as we lay our sin at the feet of Jesus, he takes it upon himself on that cross. And therefore it is with confidence that I can say, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning's reading comes from Isaiah 58, verses 1 to 12. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and does not forsake the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before Darren comes up and teaches from that passage, let's have a moment of quiet and reflect. What part of that particularly stirs you at this moment? Let me now hand over to Darren.
Good afternoon, as it now is. Great to be with you and to be looking at God's word. We pray that it will be a blessing to each one of us and that God will open our eyes. We are the church, learning to be God's people, a heart for justice. Just to remind you, as Peter has already done, looking over the past 2 weeks, we have thought of a people with a heart for holy habits. We're looking at our dependence upon God, the Father, and our relationship with with him. A people with a heart for compassion. Sorry, that's clicked too. A people with a heart for compassion. And Dave talked to us about the example of Jesus Christ and the love that he showed to those that he met in his life down here, and the blessing that he was to those who came to him in faith, and he blessed them because of the love that was in his heart. And then today we're looking at a people with a heart for justice. And there we're thinking particularly, I think, of the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts, who will move us to do the things that God wants us to do. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit within these three subjects. I've never really been involved politically in demonstrating for justice, but I've always hated injustice when someone takes the blame for another's wrong behaviour. Even with our twins who are 10 years old, the one is gets the punishment, whilst the other one is the one that stirs it. And I always like to try and make it clear whose fault it was, really. And that is just a small example of how in life things do go wrong, and others do take the blame, and others do suffer. This piece, I'll just read to you, it's from the New York Times. It's equal justice for the poor. Far too often money, or the lack of it, can be the declining factor in the courtroom, says Justice Goldberg, who calls for a program to ensure justice for all Americans. Excuse the American relationship, but that does just point a little bit to what we probably already know and realize. Very hard to find justice in the right place for the right people. So injustice, which is the opposite, the thing that we don't like seeing, is caused often by hate and abuse of power. War, natural disasters, and inequality. The words that God gave to the people of Israel through Isaiah are so amazingly up to date, aren't they? When you just read them in this present day and think of our situation. Of course, they've been applicable in different and various ways throughout history, because mankind has not changed. And the results of things like war are still with us. I don't know whether you watched any of that recent series, Once Upon a Time in Iraq. And here we have the revelation from people, from commanders and generals and reporters who actually were there, and now they're reflecting upon the reasons for that war and what it caused. And the pictures were horrific, especially of the young children who were wandering around looking absolutely lost, wanting medical care, wanting food, and they were alone, orphaned. And the stories that came out of that, as with all wars, were horrendous. Injustice. Things that happened to them which were not their fault. The verses that I think are particularly pertinent in our subject this morning are verses 6 and 7. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. That's the injustice. That's the thing which can hurt and can affect us. And it's what we do about it. You see, in this passage, we're reading that God is displeased with his people of Israel in the way that they went about fasting. They got into arguments and they had all sorts of reasons for doing and not doing what God had told them. And so he wants to tell them what true fasting really is. Because we think of fasting generally as self-denial, doing without certain comforts so that we can concentrate more upon God. Maybe we don't do that, but that's the purpose. But God says, no, that is not true fasting. True fasting is making sacrifices with what we have in order to help others in much deeper need. Those in slavery and oppression, suffering famine, destitution, and those refugees who are lost and homeless. How does it happen? God, I believe, causes us to think about specific needs or specific people, and we feel moved to give to them. The recipients, in turn, put the gifts to good use where maybe we cannot be. And so it's a passing on system. And rather than stopping ourselves and denying ourselves, we are sacrificing things that we have for the needs of others in this world. And that's the way that we can really know we are satisfying God in what he wants us to do and to be. Of course, it reminds us, those that we support from this church, Mike Pursuis in Lebanon and George and his family in Tanzania, and the gifts that we have given to these people to use them not just for themselves, but also for the work that they do, for God's work, for work amongst the children and amongst college, amongst young people. And CAP, of course, is something wonderful that helps so many people, as we are seeing. This is a way to bring about justice for those who only know injustice for whatever reason. There's a little church in a village called Stoke Gabriel, which is near Paignton. And we went there quite a long time ago, but it's quite interesting. Apart from the fact that in the churchyard there's a yew tree which is known to be 800 years old, there was also a notice in the porch. And the effect of the notice was that back in the early centuries, because the church itself originally went back to the doomsday when the book was written, the words were written, and there in that porch is a notice which says that all those who are travellers who come in through that village were to be made welcome, and that they should be put up for at least one night or two nights and given food, and then they must pass on. And I thought it was quite interesting to see those sort of rules where people who are travelling were thought of, and a care was shown to them, a responsibility was shown to them, and justice was seen to be done, rather than saying, we want nothing to do with you, get out of this place. Jesus stood up against injustice. And he had a heart of compassion, as we learnt last week. Compassion for the people around him. He gave healing to those who had mental depression, hunger, those who were the minorities in society. He spoke to the woman who was taken in adultery. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He helped her from the injustice of what would have been heaped upon her in the stones that she might have felt being thrown by those Jewish authorities. Jesus showed his heart of compassion. You all know the story of the feeding of the 5,000, which might seem rather a strange item to bring it at this point. This is not so much an item on justice, but it was a hunger problem. And the Lord knew that need, and he wished to help them. And as we know, one boy with a packed lunch was willing to give it to Jesus so that he could multiply this food for all the people. The blessing was shared, and still there was enough for the boy, as there was much left over. That's how God gives. He gives abundantly, more than we can ask or think. Always there is extra in his giving. He can multiply out of that which we give as a sacrifice to others for the needs of the work of God. And in using our gifts, others can be blessed and justice can be seen to be done. That's God's bonus. When you look in the New Testament, at least some of the passages that I looked at, the reaction to injustice is not by demonstration, because of course in the age which the early church was formed and the disciples lived, they had not only the authority of the Jews over them in some cases, but they had the person like Herod who was put in charge of them by the Romans, and the Romans themselves. And to cause insurrection would have meant certain death. And it seems to me that whenever there was a problem, like when Peter was put in prison, when Stephen was martyred, when Paul went through his suffering and he was in prison, what happened was that the church prayed. The church prayed and the church gave. And that's how injustice was helped to be done away with. And that's an interesting thing, I think. We may not always value the power of prayer in this respect, but it can happen in this way. But the power of prayer is still the strongest way of getting things changed. Just think of East Germany. Before the wall came down, it was the power of prayer in that one particular church where much heartache was felt and hearts were poured out before God that things might change. And they did, without a shot being fired. People with a heart for justice. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's the compassion of God for us, for you and for me. He gave everything in the giving of his son. But there's also a verse in 1 Corinthians, as we see there, which says, "If I give all I possess to the poor, but have no love, I gain nothing." And that's just the difference, isn't it? It's the motivation, the why we give, the why injustice hurts, the why when we see the needs of those around us. And we just know that God is a God of compassion who can give us hearts of compassion and cause us to give to those who are in need. So may God look at our hearts and may we search them, and may we ask ourselves, are our hearts and minds open to the movement of God the Holy Spirit, willing to be directed to specific needs, to come alongside those who are around us and provide for them as necessary? We have many opportunities in this present time to do that. In some cases, it's harder because we cannot mix. But in other ways, we can give far more and we can be blessing others. And God can show his greatness and his mercy through each one of us. May God help us in our lives to show that compassion towards those who suffer injustice, that they may love and experience the greatness and the power of God, and to realize that they are not alone, but there is someone who can help them in these situations. May God bless his word. Amen.
Thank you, Darren. And we're going to go into a time of reflection and prayer on the focused on the issue of injustice. And I don't want to just say words from the front, but I love us in our hearts spiritually to engage with these prayers. Was it just that Jesus should die on the cross for you and I? The answer is no, but he took that upon himself as an expression of love. And so often injustice, when we've suffered injustice, it becomes a barrier for our ability to care and to love and to forgive others. And so let us begin by asking the Lord, where we are wounded and hurt because we have suffered injustice. And then we're going to give that to the Lord. But Holy Spirit, come, would you stir our hearts? If you're at home listening, you might like to get a piece of paper and write down, where do you feel hurt? Where do you feel you've been a victim of injustice? And then we're going to offer that to the Lord. So where the Lord has brought things to mind, again, I want to encourage you to give it back to the Lord. He took it on the cross for us. I want to take the cloak of hurt and pain off us, which will set us free to be the people, the kingdom people that God has called us to be, and to be the ability to love and care for our neighbour. So, Lord Jesus, wash us free. Forgive us where we've held on to injustice, where we've allowed the hurt and pain of that to hold us back. Forgive us. I pray that each one of us, if you're listening, just say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Heal me of that injustice. Amen. So let us think of injustice around the world. Let us think first of injustice in nations around the world. Let us offer a name of a country name where we know there is injustice, harsh rule, poverty, hunger, sickness. Lord, we offer these nations to you, and we pray that your power, your authority, and your kingdom will invade those places that are on our hearts, that you would bring life and abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray for where there is injustice in this nation of ours, where there may be injustice as a result of prejudice, injustice because of economic status and opportunity, where there is injustice because of the effects of COVID in different parts of our society and in business and in the workplace. Where there is injustice as a result of mental health issues and sickness. Lord, we pray for our government at every level, nationally and locally. We pray for wisdom, for integrity, for compassion, for love, and to be led by you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we pray for where there is injustice in our town, in our community. Where there's domestic abuse. Again, where there is social divide. Where there's lack of opportunities. The injustice for our young people in education. Perhaps again because of COVID, where people have been let down. Lord, invade these places. Would you bear fruit where it looks sparse? Would you invade? And would we be people of kingdom that would help to be your ambassadors in our communities to counter injustice, to give from what we have to meet the needs of those around us, to share what you have provided. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we say to the words on the screen, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So can I invite you to stand, and we're going to now move into our communion service. But before we do that, let us remember that we are people of peace in a world filled with injustice. And Jesus says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, even with all the injustice that we know. Do not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Perhaps you'd like to turn to one another, look at each other, wave, and just loose the peace over ourselves. And also, let's turn and loose the peace over our community. Perhaps we could all turn outwards and just release the peace over Malvern, Say, Lord, may your peace be known in our town today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give you thanks and praise. Please take a seat. The Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we say together, great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. And as we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Amen. And so, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of yours, now and forever. Amen. So every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. So draw near with faith and have confidence that the Lord will overcome all injustice in your lives and in the world around us. And he did it ultimately on the cross. And we wait to see that fulfilled in eternity. So in the normal way, I will come round and drop the bread in your hands. So let us say the post-communion prayer together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And may the God give to you and to all those who you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy, in this world and in the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Bless you. Thank you for being with us today, and bless you in this coming week.